Hi, everyone. Happy holidays and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where for over 5 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And we have a great show today. We're meeting with Warren Gresius. And Warren Gresius is a serial entrepreneur, an internationally acclaimed professional speaker, best-selling author, broadcaster, podcaster, educational products producer, and former minor league baseball team owner. And that's coming up on segment two of Franchise Interview. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future, and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. Get 3 months of free advertising when you sign up for our one-year package. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews. And on behalf of myself, Don Johnson, and the whole Franchise Interviews family, we'd like to wish you a happy and safe holiday season. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where for over 5 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. How are you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
Yeah, I'm doing fine, Marty. Happy holidays. I got your family Christmas card, by the way.
Oh, you did? Good. Well, we're still waiting for yours. We run through... Connie makes me run to the mailbox every day and see if the your traditional card has been coming every year. It's always... It's always the one card that we really look forward to, you know. So, yeah, he's getting big, isn't he?
Yeah. Okay. It's really incredible.
It's funny. It's crazy. You remember all those times, Don, with that, you know, I bet your kids were probably a little afraid of Santa Claus. And now this is the first year, and I think you told me this, usually when they're about 4 years old, he's like waiting, you know. He's like looking by the chimney. And so
well, our kids are in their 10-day.
This year. Yeah.
Our kids are in their 10-day countdown now. They have a little Santa chart, and they count down the days.
Oh my God, it's funny. So it's, I mean, it's a great time of year. I mean, we're really looking forward to it, and of course, you know, looking forward to, you know, a little break as well, you know, at the holidays,
right.
You know, and we're going to be playing a lot of Christmas shows, you know, during that time and things like that. So our last show, we met with the franchise king, Joel LaBava, and Joel is an author and brutally honest entrepreneur. He's hyper-focused on making sure that the prospective franchise owners don't lose their money. And Joel was, of course, you know, talking about his new book, Become a Franchise Owner. And this book is a little different from a lot of the other books that are out there. Did you have any thoughts on last week's show? It was good to have him back. I think this was the third time we had Joel on the show.
Yeah, I didn't realize we had him on a third time, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, tells it like it is, much like our yesterday Warren Gresh's. There's no holding back on anything. There's you know, there's no shortcuts. It's all hard work. And Joel, you know, he just told it how the like in every industry there's good things and bad things. There's good investments, bad investments. There's you know everybody thinks with certain franchises, hey, you pay the investment and it's guaranteed to make money. It's not the case.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, one of the, you know, the many things that I love, just again, it's our show, but I love about our show is that, you know, we always tell, like, both sides of the story, don't we? You know, I mean, we try to get, you know, both sides of perspectives, you know.
Right.
Talking about franchise brokers, franchise experts, you know, and Joel is not a franchise broker. You know, and he mentioned that on the show. Here's a little excerpt from his book. It says, with more and more professionals looking for an alternative to traditional corporate employment, Become Franchise Owner explains the joys and perils of the franchise model. Joel LaBava, the Franchise King, offers a straightforward step-by-step advice on how to properly and carefully research and select a franchise business through real-world examples, and he gives that throughout the book. LaBava also details what to not do when buying a franchise, errors that could cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars when you're finally forced to walk away from a failed business. It could be terrible, all right? I mean, if you think about it, you know, investing all this money into a concept that is just not a match, and this is a very big commitment. You know, and so we try to scare people before you get into something like this. But, you know, again, you're signing that 10-year contract and you're putting a lot of money into some of these business ventures, and you want to make sure you're getting into the right thing. It's a lot of homework. This is not easy. And what you may think you're a match for, you may not be a match for, you know.
I noticed every time he said a little something negative about franchising, all of a sudden we lost a few thousand listeners. The count went down.
They all hung up, right? Not at all. But it's interesting. It's one of those must-read books, I think, you know, before you buy a franchise. And there's a lot of good ones out there, you know. There's some good ones. There's some okay ones. And, you know, I think you and I have read them all. But, yeah, I mean, so it was great to have him on the show. And I know you and I are both very excited about today's show. What's going on today?
Warren Gresh's, who wrote the best damn sales book ever. Now he has another book out. He does a bunch of things. So he's a professional speaker, of course, best-selling author, broadcaster. I forgot that he used to own a minor league baseball team. He's done a lot.
Know,
I liked his beginning. Yeah, he started out in, as I recall, I mean, we had him on a few years ago, but in the garment district as one of the youngest manager owners in that tough type of industry, and so he learned strong sales techniques early on, and I'm interested to see what he's been doing the last couple of years, and he give us more hints, because I'm a salesman, you know, basically, and you can always be learning something new.
Yeah, I mean, anytime we've ever had him on the show, I mean, he's, haven't we always felt like totally pumped up?
Well, I got my sales leads lined up as soon as we end his show with him.
Well, today's
going
to be your
those.
Biggest sales day. It's all you have to do is talk to someone like Warren, you know. And he's going to talk about that, too. You know, I mean, he's great at that. You know, I mean, he can, you know, motivate you, you know, but he's going to talk about also, like, internal motivation and things like that. And it's really, he addresses that in the book. So he really covers, and it's a great book, too. It's an easy read. I mean, you can really get through it in a couple of days, and that's what I like about it. And I'm already recommending this book to my business students, so just fantastic. So again, looking forward to having Warren on the show today. I know you had some interesting things that we wanted to cover last week, and of course we didn't get to. What's going on today?
Yeah, well, I want to get right away to an interesting article I saw in Trends and Ideas News in the street. It's called Five Reasons to Buy a Franchise for Next Year by Lori Kolakowski.
Okay.
And it starts out, Marty, even with predictions the economy in 2012 is expected to be as fickle as 2011's, many companies are still setting their sights on growth. So why shouldn't you? One of the easiest and more predictable ways to do that is to look for those companies aiming to grow and buy a franchise. Franchising means you run a business of your own, but with a proven method of success, as well as support and marketing assistance from the franchisor, Joel LaBava, who we just, of course, has had on last week, a franchise acquisition consultant, author of Become a Franchise Owner, says franchising means building equity in a business, controlling the circumstances to reach your career goals and dreams, and creating an opportunity for your children to join you. And here's a few reasons why it's a good time to own a franchise for next year. Number one is credit is loosening. 2009, the franchise industry lost 400,000 jobs. Last year, the industry grew by 0.03, which is basically flat, according to Steve Caldera, CEO of the IFA, who we had on a few weeks ago. I didn't pick out an article just to showcase people we've had on our show. This is just a coincidence.
It is total coincidence, but it's amazing, though. I mean, that you know, we're right there, isn't it? I mean, you know, if you talk about all the hot, you know, things going on in franchise, or the important, I hate to use the word hot, the important issues going on in franchising, you know, again, we just recently, as you said, interviewed Steve Caldera, president of the IFA, and then, you know, famous author Joel LaBava, you know, so, yeah.
Right. This year, the industry was projected to grow jobs by 2.5%, economic output by 5%. The number of jobs added will likely come in as a little below expectations, but that's better than a decline, Caldera notes. The big issue has been lack of credit to meet the demand for franchisors and franchisees' growth, he says. We've been working really hard with the banking and lending community regarding the issue. As we all know, it's well documented. This is my industry for 13 years, franchise and business lending. Is credit loosening? Well, I mean, you know, maybe in certain areas. Overall, it's still very down. That's why Steve on the show last week spoke a lot about that. It's still real tough times, really not much better than a couple of years ago. Is it loosening? You know, maybe there's some signs, but nothing major to get excited about. Additionally, there is still trepidation on the part of franchisors and franchisees to expand due to uncertainty and costs regarding changes in healthcare and what tax reform will look like next year and beyond, he says.
Yeah, I laugh because you were talking about that a couple weeks ago too, Don. You know, it's just the whole healthcare issue. You know, I think you and I were getting a little angry on the show about what's going on with the uncertainty, you know, that's affecting franchising and just small business in general, absolutely.
It's a shame. Caldera noted that franchises in industries such as healthcare, automotive, business services, and personal services are seeing some nice growth. The second thing, more ways to finance a franchise. Well, this is a good point. People can use their retirement money, their 401k, and roll it over with no tax penalty to invest in a franchise. We've been helping people doing that for years. So there's other avenues than the typical scenario of just going to your local bank and getting a small business loan or SBA. Next year probably has one of the bleakest outlooks in terms of improved levels of employment, especially since mid-level manager and C-level jobs are few and far between, says Shelley Sun, CEO of Brightstar. If you're going to be able to find a job, isn't it better to bet on yourself and in certain times than hope for the best? That's a good point. That's why a lot of people decide, well, I've always wanted to start my own business. Let's look at that. And, hey, franchising, I've heard some good things. Let's look at the franchise concept. There's a higher chance of success and all that. But there's another trend industry participants are picking up on. Downsized coworkers are looking to partner with each other to buy and operate a franchise. We started to see a normalized set of new buyers. They know their chemistry, know each other's work ethic and work value. So you have more people partnering. So, you know, besides a business loan, there's, you know, there's other ways to finance a business. Things like equipment leasing and different types of credit lines. Third thing is commercial space is available. Given low interest rates and market space available, it's a buyer's market not only on residential homes but commercial leases as well. Leasing commercial space is easier and cheaper now. So when starting a franchise that requires commercial space, the possibilities of getting a good deal at a great location are better now than when the economy is in full steam. It's a good point, and we've talked about that the last couple of years.
It is. It's a great point. You know, it's interesting. I was just, as you were reading that, it made me think, you know, where I live, right down the street, there's been this strip mall. And we always thought it was a great location. But it's really, there's only like three retailers in the strip mall. And there's like about like, I guess like six or seven spots available. And it's just been sitting there now for like 3 years. And I always wondered why the owner, whoever owns the land, doesn't just, you know, give someone a killer deal like to like a Subway or something like that, saying, here, you know, you can have the first year free. I mean, you still got a client then, you know what I mean?
So right.
After the 12 months is up, you know, then they're getting rent. I just don't understand why they let it sit there. But I think you're right about that. I still see some amazing locations available.
It says, according to the most recent economic outlook by the National Association of Realtors, vacancy rates in the commercial real estate markets are in the double digits. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
Wow.
While they're expected
wow.
to improve in 2012, of the four major sectors, office, industrial, retail, and multifamily, none are projected to improve their vacancy rates more than 1%. That's incredible. I mean, here things
That's
are
amazing.
So down, and they're saying there's basically no growth for this next
right.
year. So here, you know, credit could be loosening, or there's just different types of options to look at. Having,
right.
you know, getting good deals on lease space, that's all still available, just as good as a couple years ago. The fourth thing is franchisor. What's that?
I was going to say, it's so important, Don. I mean, particularly with certain franchise models, is that location factor is really critical.
Right.
You know, I mean, getting to know you, you know, the last 10 years, I mean, you've told me, you know, many stories of some franchises, when franchising was booming anyway, of some franchises not being able to get a location, you know, because there was nothing available. You remember those days?
Right, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't that long ago, right? I mean, so it is kind of interesting, those changes that have taken place.
Franchisors are helping with initial and ongoing expenses. These days, with credit so tight, franchisors
mm-hmm.
are making it more affordable and offering more support to own a franchise. And here it gets into talking about our favorite franchise, pet waste removal company Duty Calls, is offering new franchise owners partial reimbursement of their advertising expenses, over $12,000 the first year, so long as the money was spent according to the company's department. It's really just important to advertise your business to grow, says Duty Calls founder and CEO Jacob Danello. We have to get that guy on the show. We've referenced his company a lot.
We've referenced him about 10 times in 5 years. They really got to come on the show at this point. You've already gone on record saying they're our favorite franchise, which I was unaware of, by the way. But
yeah, no, I want to see his thought process in starting up the franchise. It says, we wanted to put money where our mouth was and how much we truly believe in this. Duty Calls has three primary lines of business. Now, the company removes pet waste from residential yards, has a kitty litter swap service, and works with communities and homeowners to service pet waste bags and receptacles. So, yeah, we're starting
wow.
to get to know a lot about this franchise, so we have to have him on.
Well, that'll be the mission for 2012. That's one of the first shows.
This is another good point. And we've talked about this a number of times, franchisors giving discounts on franchise fees,
right.
You know, training extra people that are going to work with no extra cost, you know, discount on royalty fees, too.
Does it say anything about the military? Did it get into the whole military thing? We were talking about that, you know, actually the last couple of weeks. We spent more time on that topic of, you know, discounts for our military because, of course, you know, we have a lot of our military coming back onto
right.
the states, you know. Is this a good time for franchising for them, you know? You know, Joel had some interesting thoughts on that, and so did Steve Caldiera and the other gentleman we had who was an actual veteran. I think he owns like 10 franchises. I think his name is Sean Falk.
Right.
It doesn't reference it
in this article, but as I'm always looking for articles during the week to do next week's show, I'm always seeing more than ever, especially the last year, articles on veterans and franchising and what franchise
okay.
systems are doing to help veterans and this. So I hope that all improves, especially on the financing end.
Because what Joel said I thought was kind of discouraging, you know, I mean, and it made a lot of sense. It's, you know, and again, you hear different sides of the story, you know, but Joel was mentioning that, you know, do you know, a lot of these veterans coming back, do they have, you know, 200, 300 grand to get into a franchise, you know what I mean? And you've offered some very strong advice, you know, saying, you know, why don't you, you know, do everything you can to help these veterans who are coming back, you know, and want to get into franchising and might make great franchisees. So
SBA
yeah.
or other lenders should call a company like us who's speaking to people and veterans on a weekly basis to get a good
right.
idea of what type of financial situation they're in on average. And just what I said mm-hmm. on the show last week or a few weeks ago is exactly the case. There has to be real strong incentives by lenders if they want to put veterans, and it's well documented, everybody, and it's even proven from veterans in franchising that they make excellent franchisees. So why,
exactly.
so that takes away some of the risk with lenders. A combination of a veteran plus a strong, maybe well-established franchise system, and the chances of that loan defaulting, I believe, are low. And the fifth thing in this article, Marty, is plenty of talent to hire. Given the state of unemployment, it's a great time to hire talent. Franchisees can pick up some well-qualified workers who may have not been available otherwise. Some franchisors also feel the responsibility to provide jobs. Being an entrepreneur means you are creating jobs and helping to rebuild the economy. Simply put, it's the American thing to do, which is a good point. Like when you look at this, credit loosening, that's argumentative, but there is money available out there. You just have to work harder to find it. And there are other
mm-hmm.
options than just SBA.
Right.
Leasing commercial space, there's good space available. It is better the cost to put a franchise in business. There's landlord tenant improvement money. There's all these things going on, so that's still available. That market is still good for someone looking to lease space, and then you have the franchisors helping out with incentives and more people out there out of work downsized to work for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like what you're saying too, Don, is there's a lot of opportunities out there. You know what I mean? I mean, yes, it's been a tough time, economy-wise, but, that the negative economy has also opened up some interesting opportunities to the franchise community. So I think it's a great article, so it's fantastic. Why don't we do this, Don? I see our guest Warren has called in, so let's take a quick break, and then we'll bring him in, and we'll be right back with more Franchise Interviews.
Big now!
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Hi, everyone. Happy holidays, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where for over 5 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs the one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today because we're meeting with Warren Gresius. And Warren Gresius is a serial entrepreneur, an internationally acclaimed professional speaker, best-selling author, broadcaster, podcaster, educational products producer, and former minor league baseball team owner. Hey, Warren, how you doing? Welcome back.
Happy holidays. Marty, I'm doing great. How you doing? How are you doing, Don?
Oh, good. It's great to hear your voice,
good.
Warren.
Good. Doing great, Warren.
It's great to be back.
Happy holidays.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah, happy holidays to you, Warren. It's I think it's been a while. How long has it been since we've had Warren on the show, Don? It's maybe a year or two?
I think at least 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
At least 2 years, yeah. And I know you've been very busy. I've been following you, as you know, Warren, so has Don, you know.
Thank you.
You know, with all your, you know, podcasts and everything like that. So, again, it is fantastic to have you back on the show. I don't know if you know this, Warren. It was a year ago I was asked to list my top five favorite books for Kaplan University for our students. And one of them is the best damn sales book ever, 16 Rock Solid Rules for Achieving Sales Success. So probably your new one's going to be up there as well. I'm almost done with it, just so you know. It's a fantastic book.
Thank you.
It's really a wonderful read.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's our pleasure. I thought, you know, a good place to start off, Warren, is, you know, why did you write the book, the best damn management book ever?
Well, you know, because you know me, I never beat around the bush because my publisher bugged the living heck out of me. That's why.
It's a very prestigious publisher too. I mean,
hey,
wasn't it
Wiley's
publishing?
A great publisher.
They're fantastic.
They have been great to work with, and
yeah.
The thing was, the first book sold well, and continues to sell well. I'm proud to say, and so they were bugging me for years to write another book, and I never, you know, there was never anything, you know. I just didn't feel like writing a book for the sake of writing a book. You know,
right,
exactly. You know me. I mean, I get wound up.
Yeah,
For me to write a book, it's got to be something I really feel strongly about,
something
passionate about.
Say.
And so finally, one day, you know, it dawned on me. And, you know, I do a lot of speaking to management groups, too, aside from sales groups. And one of the things all of a sudden I started talking about was how the similarities between being a great parent and being a great manager / leader.
Mm.
And I said, you know, this could make the basis for a good book. So I called the publisher. I said, okay, I'm ready. You can stop bugging me. I'm ready. I pitched the idea. He said, send me the proposal. I sent the proposal. Boom. The next thing I know, I got a book contract and I'm writing this book.
What became interesting as you were putting the book together, I'm sure all kinds of new thoughts and things hit you. What was a surprise when you were putting this together?
Well, you know me. I when you read my books, it's like you're listening to me speak. You know, as my wife says, my God, you write just like you speak. It's like
absolutely.
And I'm a storyteller, and you know, it's just my observations and. You know, I just, as I kept delving more and more into it, you know, I kept seeing this similarity, you know, with my kids. You know, I got two kids, Michael and Emily. Michael's 24, Emily is 20, and I just kept saying, my God, the similarities. I never noticed it before. And you know, how much similarity there is to running a business and managing people and leading people as there is to being a parent, except, to be honest about it, you hear a lot more whining as a manager than you do as a parent.
That's true. And I think you said that in the book, Warren, which, again, you know, I liked the book because it was funny. You know, I was at the doctor's office yesterday, Don, I didn't tell you this, and I was, like, laughing because it's as you say, you know, I can picture you actually saying these things. You know, you were talking about your – and I showed my wife this yesterday. You were talking about your son, Michael, saying that he'll do something because nobody else is doing
right.
it. I showed it to my wife, and she started laughing hysterically. She said, oh, my God, because that's our son. He's 4 years old now, and that's our son, you know. And it does. It segues into, like, all that motivation and everything like that, doesn't it?
That's why I wrote the book. I noticed when I was making these comparisons in my speeches how people reacted the same way you did, because everyone can relate to that. So many people in my audience, there's so many people that are going to read this book have kids, and they can relate to that. And to be able to make that connection to understanding how being a good parent can help you be a better manager, leader, business owner, I think it's very valuable.
What's really the secret, Warren, to good management? Is it that individual person, their personality and just relating that to someone and getting to know that person who's under you, their personality, because, you know, there's all kinds of ways to manage. You know, look at Bill Parcells, and you know, some of your most successful coaches took the hard line type approach. They really build people up and knock them down, and vice versa. Then you have the nice guy approach. You know, what have you found to be kind of the key to management?
Well, you know, the key to management is, and Bill Parcells, yes and no, took the hard line approach. You know, great coaches like Parcells, like Red Auerbach, they knew, they understood each player individually. And I think one of the points I make in the book is you have to treat your people like they're your customers, because they are your customers. And you have to understand that, you know, just like each one of your kids are different. If you have more than one kid, you'll notice your kids are all different.
Right.
I mean, my son and my daughter are total opposite. You know, people react different people react differently to different things. Red Auerbach always used to, you know, he used to pick on Tommy Heinsohn. He was brutal, they said, in his treatment of Tommy Heinsohn. He would scream at him, yell, blame him for everything. Why? Because he knew he could take it.
Or someone like Bobby Knight, who's one of the most successful college coaches ever, and everybody thinks of him as just being a mean guy, but all his players end up loving him and coming back and watching him and supporting him, and so you don't see a lot of the behind the scenes, the full story. I've read a couple books.
Great coaches know who they can kick in the rear, and great coaches know who they should pat on the back.
Right.
It's amazing, Warren.
People are different. They react differently to different motivations. Everybody's motivated by something different. You, as a manager, have to find out what motivates each and every one of your people. You've got to treat them like clients. You sit down with your clients and try to figure out what their individual needs are. Why don't you do the same thing with the people that work for you?
Good point.
It's so true, and a lot of businesses do not do that, you know, is one of the things I got from the book, too. It was a big reminder that I would like to even, like, you know, share with my students. I think this book, Warren, is really for, I don't know if you knew this, but more people than you even imagine, you know. I was going to say it could be parents or, I was thinking of it from a university professor perspective, you know, that the book is just really for so many people out there, students. You know, I'm going to recommend to my students that they read this book, you know.
Well, thank you.
It really is fantastic. I mean, there's just so many things, you know, you talk about that really just were kind of like a reinforcement. But it is interesting, you know, when you talk about sports and, you know, you talk about Bill Parcells, and I know, Don, you're a Giants fan, aren't you?
Right.
Well, you have that in common with
that's true.
You know, but it's interesting seeing the relationship between sports and management. I know in a lot of the business books that I read, Warren, you know, Vince Lombardi is referenced quite often as well. My dad, you know, used to talk about Vince Lombardi a lot as well. But, you know, Parcells is really amazing.
Well, my two favorites of all time have always, two of my favorites have always been Parcells and Red Auerbach.
Right.
Interesting, yeah.
And you know, they understood. I mean, Parcells always said, he said, I don't motivate people. I'm a great motivator because I only keep players who are self-motivated. If you're not self-motivated, I get rid of you. Because
Absolutely. You
cannot motivate other people. I mean, you know me. I could go crazy. I could do a fire and brimstone. I could have people swinging from the chandeliers, but 24 hours later, they're going to wake up and say, who was that guy?
Well, you do that, right? You do that to us. That doesn't Warren do that to us, Don? I mean, again, you're so motivated. Don says he couldn't wait to get on the phone after the show's over today, Warren, to just get on the phone, because you do have that ability to just inspire, you know. But you're right. It has to be, and maybe it's a good time to talk about it, you know, external versus internal motivation.
Absolutely.
If you want to address that.
Sure. I mean, external motivation is great, but it's a short-term fix. You know, a football coach only has to get people wound up for a few hours on Sunday, and that's including the commercials and halftime.
Right.
But a good business owner, a good leader, you have to, you know, you can't motivate other people. You can get them excited. You can get them inspired.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're not so, external motivation is a short-term force. Internal motivation can last forever. See, the key is not to motivate others. The key is to give them the tools and the techniques that will allow them to be better able to motivate themselves.
You know, good point. I'm thinking, you know, my twins, Warren, are seven. They each play soccer, basketball, baseball. They're in scouts. So my son's had a tough time, and I grew up playing sports and was, you know, was pretty decent at it. And I'm starting to realize that if, you know, he has to sort of have that inner motivation on his own.
Right.
Because I noticed in soccer he's not being very aggressive, and And I don't know at this point whether he's going to have that attitude where he hates to lose and he's going to be over-aggressive. And that's maybe something you can try your best to educate, let him know how to be a good player. But if he doesn't have that inner drive and motivation, it's something you kind of have to have on your own a little bit, right?
Well, that's it. You see, my son was a very good baseball player, very good baseball player, far better player than I ever was. But he got to the point where he just wasn't willing to do what it takes to get to the next level.
Right.
And so what was I going to do? I was going to push him? He said, Dad, I want to quit the team. I said, okay, I'm not going to go. What am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
I love baseball, I'm going to make him stay? He didn't want to do it.
Right.
You know, and if you're not willing to do what it takes, then, you know, move on. Find something else you like.
Right.
And so, you know, it's, you know, with your people, business owners, and, you know, I know we're speaking to business owners on your show here,
mm-hmm.
all those franchisors,
right.
franchisees. We're speaking to business owners. Business owners are always saying, oh, man, if I could only find the right hot button to push on this guy.
Right.
The problem is you're trying to find a button on people who might not have any buttons. The biggest reason
so
people
true,
are
yeah.
not self-motivated is they themselves don't know what motivates them. They have no
yeah.
goals. They have no plans. You, as the leader, you as the business owner, you as the manager, you have to sit down with each and every one of your people individually, just like you would do a needs analysis on a client. You sit down
yes.
with the people that work for you and try to help them figure out what it is they want to achieve out of their life, their career, or whatnot, and help them put together a set of goals and a plan that will get them there. Then once you do that, see, once they have something to shoot for on their own, something that's theirs, something they really want to achieve, then you can show them how they can use the job as a vehicle to getting them there. If I know
yeah,
that every day I come to work, I'm getting that much closer to what I want, now I'm a lot more motivated to come to work every day and do a good job, even if I don't like the job that much.
That's so true.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Warren, I don't know if you noticed, I used to work for a Madison Avenue firm, and they used to have sales contests all the time. And it was funny because you mentioned, and it was one of the things I was reading your book, I laughed again. You said, have you ever wondered why so many sales contests don't work? And a lot of times the contests were for, like, tickets for, like, an off-Broadway show or Mets tickets, and I
right.
wasn't a Mets fan. I was a Yankees fan.
Who is?
And it was just so true. But it's so true, though, you know, and you wonder why that still goes on today, you know, that there's so many companies out there,
because
you know, they have these sales contests.
Because there are so many bad managers.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, give me a great sales force and stick
yeah.
them with a lousy manager. 6 months, you'll have
there
a lousy
go.
Sales force.
I mean,
and
Warren, it's almost
true.
Like you had
well
to
said.
Write this type of book, Warren. You know, you had to write this book to kind of complete the cycle of
yes.
of sales in general. You know, I mean, you know, before
yeah.
you think about it, you only had half the story. Okay, this is
you know
this
what?
Is
you're part. Absolutely right.
Yeah.
Part two, yeah. And you also said, too, you know, I wrote this down, Warren, hire attitude, not skills, and used a great example of it. I think you referenced Sylvia as the example, and I was reading about
oh.
this guy. I said, oh, my God, I got to share this with my students. I mean, it got me very excited. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that.
Can I please elaborate on that a little?
Yeah,
sure,
absolutely.
This story about Sylvia has even a better ending since the book came out.
It does.
Yes, Sylvia... You know, works for McKinsey, one of the largest, if
okay.
not the largest consulting firm in the world. She started
right.
out as an office manager, glorified title
yeah.
to someone who, you know, filled the pencil boxes and
right.
ordered
yeah.
the supplies and whatnot. But she worked like a dog. I mean, nothing, no task was too menial, no job was too tough. Whatever they asked her to do, Sylvia did and did it well. And then she finally got her big promotion. And you know why? Because she was the only one willing to empty the dishwasher in the
yeah.
office. You know, people hired her, but her attitude helped her advance.
Right.
Now, here's the good news. Here's the better news, I should say. Last week, Sylvia just got another promotion.
That's incredible.
She
and
got
I'm
another
not even
promotion.
Surprised.
And they asked her what her goals are, and she said, I want to be able to work for, they have, you know, they have offices all over the world, McKinsey.
Right.
She said, I want to be able to work for a year in Costa Rica. They said, fine.
Wow.
They gave her a promotion.
That's incredible.
They are sending her to Costa Rica for a year where she's going to have a leadership position.
Yeah, I don't even know her, and I'm excited for her, you know?
and I know her well. I've known her since she was born. And I'm so excited for her, and it was all because of her attitude. You hire attitude because
attitude.
Let me tell you something. all you people out there listening that own your own businesses or are responsible
right.
for leading other people, you hire Attitude, because I'll guarantee you, you can teach them everything they're going to need to know about your business. And people with
yeah.
great attitudes will kill to learn all the skills they need to be successful.
Yet so many companies aren't doing that, Warren. They're just looking for the skills. They go to the resume, they just look at the skill section, and that's really, it seems like it's it after that.
I am amazed at how companies hire. Everything is, you know, send us your resume on the internet.
Mm-hmm. It's all
my son got a job right out of college, and you know why? Because he got in front of somebody. He graduated college.
I mentioned that. Record industry. Yeah, it was in
yeah.
the record industry, wasn't it?
Actually,
that.
He's not working for a record label anymore because he got recruited for a better job just about a month or two ago.
That's fantastic.
So,
He was there a little over a year, and he impressed some people because
wow.
of his attitude, because
not
of
surprised.
His willingness
exactly.
to do whatever it took. And somebody at his record label got a big job at another music company, a music publishing company, and they called Michael immediately. So we want to talk to you.
Wow.
And he got a better job with a big bump in pay, more responsibility, and it's you know. And the thing was, he that's another thing. He managed to get in the door. He said to me, "Dad, they want to do an interview. They said we could do it on the phone." I said, "Uh-uh, no phone."
Right.
I said, "I don't care where you are. I don't care if you got to get on a plane." I said,
right.
Tell him you want to be face-to-face. He got there face-to-face. He impressed them. They said, you know, there's a guy down the hall that's looking for somebody. Now, they wouldn't have put him in touch with the guy down the hall if he was on the phone.
Right. He probably liked his body language, his eye contact,
they
his
liked
experience.
What
he was there. He flew. He traveled to get there, which impresses people.
That's right. That's
the same
right.
at a franchise show, Marty, when at a franchise trade show, if somebody
mm-hmm.
tells that franchise system, well, I just – came a few states over because I wanted to meet you guys in person, see what your franchise system's all about. And that's pretty powerful. That's like, well, okay, this person's
serious. Right.
Let me ask you this, Warren.
Sure.
Now, you know, you've been all around on the management side, sales side. You know, which team could be more successful, five average salesmen with a great manager or a manager who's below average but you have five really good salesmen? Which team would do better?
I think the five average salespeople with the great manager.
Wow, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I was thinking the other
sports,
way.
Look at sports teams. The ones
right.
with bad management never win.
Right.
Come on,
that's
we just mentioned. Okay, you just mentioned the poster boy for bad management, the Mets. Right. Come on, is the Mets
there
not
you go.
The
that's
poster
true.
Boy for bad management? Let's face it, the fish stinks from the head.
Or we mentioned Vince Lombardi. His team, you know, never had the best talent, but they were the best team.
Before he took over, his team won one game.
Right.
Yeah.
His team won one game.
How about Parcells
yeah.
who took over the Giants? They were like 3-13
yeah,
or something.
Listen, come on.
Yeah,
we know that. Just think about it. I mean, you know when the latest Yankee dynasty was built, the ones that won at the end of, that started in 1996, the World Series,
right.
and they won four World Series?
Right.
It started when Steinbrenner was suspended. Think about this. It started when Steinbrenner was suspended
yeah.
and Gene Michael took over running the team.
And kept the young talent.
And kept all the young talent.
Right.
And you know who ran his farm system? Brian Sabian, who is now the general manager of the Giants and led them to their first World Series in 56 years. And I know because I've been a Giant fan for 50 of those 56 years.
And it was funny how nobody thought Torrey, remember the backlash of
right.
New York press when Torrey was first hired. He even had the
mm-hmm.
record, Marty, of the
yeah.
most managed games, I think playing games also, and to never have made it to the World Series. And what happens? I guess somebody saw,
yeah.
thought that, hey, him being in New York, because he grew up in New York,
great front office got him the talent.
Right.
And then he had to be able to manage the talent. There's a lot of teams with great talent that don't win.
It's true.
Everybody has to know their role.
One of the things I didn't know about you, Warren, was that you owned a baseball team. I thought I knew everything about you and following your career, you know, the last 5-6 years. I didn't know that about you. Did you want to talk about
baseball?
Like,
is my weakness. If you, my wife
yes.
always likes to say that the movie Fever Pitch is my autobiography.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm insane. I'm a Giants fan and I'm insane. But when I years ago I got involved in minor league baseball. I owned a minor
wow.
league team and it didn't go too well. Fortunately, I did make
right.
money on the deal, so I'm happy about that.
Good.
But I got in early and I should have stayed in because I knew I had, you know, it's like, you know, hey, entrepreneurs make mistakes.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that
oh,
you know,
absolutely.
You know why we sometimes have successes? because we're willing to make mistakes.
Take risks. Yeah.
Right. You got to take risks. You know, I thought minor league baseball was going to take off. I was right. I mean, you know, value of minor league franchises, this was over 25 years ago. Value of minor league franchises in the last 25 years has skyrocketed. I got in early.
Oh, yeah.
And I got out too early. So.
Right.
But, yeah, I was involved in minor league baseball for a while. It was an independent league, and I was ahead of my time on that.
And a good example, Marty, 25 years ago, I don't think New Jersey had one minor league baseball team, and they had the Cardinals team up in North Jersey. Now there's about 8 or 9
teams around
New Jersey, minor league teams, yeah.
Well, you know, I was involved in one of the first ever independent leagues, and now there's independent leagues all over the place.
And I know firsthand it's a lot easier going to see the Lakewood Blue Claws with my family. There's more things for the kids besides the ball game. I mean, I'd always rather go to a major league game, but it's closer, it's easier, it's cheaper, it's nice, and you have a good night. It's nice for the family.
Well, you know what? Same with me. I mean, I now live in, you know, in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and you know, there's no major league baseball here, but I go to the Durham Bulls games. It's great baseball.
Yeah.
It's great baseball. When my kids were younger, it was great to take them there because if they didn't feel like sitting in their seats, who cared? The seats only cost $5.
It's true.
That's probably the thing you like least about North Carolina. You can't go to the Giants game. You can't go to the Yankees game, right? Admit it.
Yes, but I have satellite dish, and I have the baseball package on my satellite dish, and I have the baseball package on my computer. So I watch every single game. I mean, the big problem is it's a 3-hour time difference. My wife goes nuts.
Yeah.
You know, no matter where we live, there always needs to be a room where she can hide me.
Yeah,
because
that's
I'll be screaming at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'll be screaming at the TV.
Oh, that's something. I want to get back more to something you said very important in the book, and I wanted to share this with my students as well. You mentioned about looking down on what others do. That's a very big pet peeve of yours. And, you know, this is a concept that, again, I'm going to be sharing with my students today. But, you know, we've had over a dozen stories on our show of, like, employees turning into successful franchisees, haven't we, Don? Like, it's about 5 years. We've had some really incredible stories of, you know, just someone who worked for a McDonald's, Warren, and now they own, like, 10 of them. You know, and I want, if you could just talk a little bit about that, because I think it's very important.
Oh, this is a pet peeve of mine. This when I was watching these Occupy Wall Street, I won't call them Occupy Wall Street, I'll call them Occupy Wah Street. And when I was watching, well, you know, all I can do, the only jobs out there are crappy jobs. Whoa.
Exactly.
Whoa.
Yeah.
No such thing as a crappy job. There's only crappy people. Crappy workers. There's those.
Yeah.
You know what? I hate it when, well, you know, just a hamburger flipping job or Walmart. I love when people make fun of the jobs at Walmart. We don't want Walmart in our town. They're crummy jobs. Yeah, okay. So those small mom and pop retailers, they're giving out great jobs.
Right. Good point.
Yeah, but
it is. It's so true. I mean, I can't tell you how many stories we've had of people
my son
in the store.
Yeah. Worked for quite a few years as a pizza delivery man.
Mm-hmm.
And helped put himself through college as a pizza delivery man. He quit college after his freshman year. He was working in the summers and part-time in high school, and even when he first started college, he'd work part-time when he'd come home and for this pizza place. So he quit college. He didn't want to go. He said, can I quit? I said, sure, you can quit. I said, the only thing is you got to get a full-time job. You got to pay me rent.
Right.
There you go. You got to set standards if you're going to be a leader.
I was going to say for a second, it seemed like you were kind of taking it easy on your son, but that wasn't the case.
No. Listen, if the kid doesn't want to go, am I going to pay for a place he doesn't want to be?
Right.
Yeah.
That's dumb. You know, there's no motivation. Why should I shell out the money? So I said, fine, get a full-time job and you pay me rent. So he went full-time with the pizza place. For a year, he delivered pizzas. Made $25,000 in 1 year delivering
That's
pizzas.
Amazing.
He saved $12,000. He took that $12,000, he invested it in the stock market, he made $30,000.
Wow. He's going to have to write a book next.
He took that money and he helped pay for his college education with that money.
That's fantastic.
And he was always amazed how people would treat him in certain places. He'd say to me, Dad, I hate the BMW dealership. I said, why? He said, because every time I go in there, they look down on me. It was like, oh, God, here comes the loser pizza delivery guy. I said, you know, Michael, you know how dumb those guys are? I said, because someday you're going to be, in your life, you're going to be able to easily afford a car like that. I said, and guess what? You're not going to buy it from.
Right.
Because of their attitude.
Yeah.
You know, there's no such thing as a bad job. Sylvia had what people might call a bad job. Mm-hmm. And she turned that bad job into a great job because it's a job. There's no such thing as a bad job. It's what you make of it that will determine whether it's a good job or a bad job. My son was we used to call him the vice president of pizza. That's how seriously he took that job. His boss, the owner, loved him. Anytime Michael was home from school, he'd call up. He'd say, "Alfredo, can I get a weekend?" He'd say, "Oh yeah, any hours you want. Pick the." He loved him. Why? Because he could trust him, and he knew he was going to do. Michael learned how to deal with customers. Michael learned how to deal with lousy customers, kind of people. You're dealing with the general public. He learned how to deal with irate customers. He learned how to deal with stupid customers. He learned how to deal with all sorts of people. Yeah, how valuable is that? You know what else kids learn and young people learn on jobs like that, working for franchise places or pizza or whatever? They learn that you got to show up on time.
Exactly.
You learn that you got to work hard.
It's funny. It's kind of nostalgic. I remember, you wouldn't remember this, Warren, but again, I think the first time we had you on the show, we were talking about that story. We had a gentleman on our show, Garlic Jim's Pizza. I don't know if you remember that, Don. It's going way, way back to, I think, like 2007. But it reminded me a lot of your son, as you're telling the story again, is this gentleman started off. I think he started off delivering pizzas, and then he started working in, I think it was Domino's, and he starts his own franchise called Garlic Jim's. And I think today
Garlic Jim's,
I know, 150. Yeah, they're up to, like 150, 200 franchises across the country. I said, oh, my God. It was a wonderful story, and I remember, you telling the story of your son back then. He was delivering pizzas, and absolutely.
You remember the story of my sister-in-law from my first book?
I'm going to have to go back. Your sister-in-law.
Went to college, graduated from high school, went to secretarial school, worked a number of crummy secretary jobs, so to speak, how they call everything crummy. I don't consider any job crummy. I consider any job what you make of it. Finally, she got into the music business. She always wanted to do that. She got a job as a secretary at RCA.
Okay.
Yeah, she was a secretary. You know how many secretaries you talk to and they say, "Well, I'm only the secretary."
Yes.
Right.
That she never felt like that. She did whatever they asked her to do. She was like Sylvia, but she was like Sylvia on steroids.
It all goes back to, like you say,
fast forward, by the way. Fast forward. My sister-in-law is now the president of promotion for Interscope Records. They just did an article in Billboard, I think, on the most powerful women in the music industry. She came in at number 8.
That's incredible, isn't it,
Yeah,
I mean,
and you know what?
Like,
you know what? College graduates report to her.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, she
every
started
job's
out
a stepping
one of
stone.
Time-only jobs.
Every job's a stepping stone and a learning experience, and you learn
if
responsibility.
If you use it as such.
Right.
If you use it as such. If you complain about it, it will not be. If you use it as such, every job is just a step on the ladder to the next one. That's why I say that's why I say to small business owners, and I hope your people are listening out there, because I get so many small business owners that complain to me, "Oh, why should I train these people? They're just going to leave and get for a better job."
Yeah.
I say, "Well, that's good. So here's the key. If you never want them to leave, just hire mediocre morons and never train them." Mediocre morons will never leave you because nobody else wants them. I said, but instead of looking at it as the glass is half empty, let's look at the glass is half full. That as a leader, as a business owner, if you really train people and develop them, and even if they go on to bigger and better things, you know what that means? That means you have now, your business is now a stepping stone. Your business is now a place where young people know, hey, if I work there, I'm going to go on to bigger and better things. So now you're going to get a better quality applicant.
Absolutely.
You're going to be the place where young people want to work because they know they can go on to bigger and better things, and you're going to get the better people.
Yeah, it's so true. So what's next for you then, Warren? I mean, what's... where do you see yourself in another, year or two down the road? I know you're going to keep doing your presentations and things like that.
Well,
anything
I'm
else going
to keep
on?
Speaking. I'm going to, keep doing my, my videos, my Move Your Ass Monday videos. And I don't know. I'm going to continue to write. I don't know about another book yet. I don't have anything yet that I'm passionate about, although I am kind of thinking about something on personal responsibility. That whole Occupy Wall Street movement got
interesting.
Me, got my guts
obsessed.
Yeah, and but also, I'm winding it down a bit, guys. I just turned 60 in October.
Did you really?
Yeah, we just sold our house. We bought a townhouse. You know, my son's on his own in New York. My daughter's got another year half of college, and I told her, I love you, Em, but don't let the door hit you in the butt on the way out. winding it down. I don't feel like killing myself as much. I'll continue to do some speaking just because, you know me, I love being in front of an audience.
Yeah.
And I'll continue to write about things that tick me off, because I love to talk about things that tick me off, because there's a lot of stuff that ticks me off.
Well, I remember one thing, Warren, was when we had you on last, I always remember this, you didn't like how people always thought up excuses why they're not making sales. Easy to make a million. And I'm thinking today, what's something I can ask Warren about, and with the economy being so bad, it's even easier for people to make excuses. Oh. Well, the economy's tough, and who's going to buy? And this
God, that's my favorite.
Yep. Yeah.
You know what my favorite is? Here's my favorite, because I've been through it. I started selling in 1973 when there was a really bad recession. New York City was going broke. I was
garment
living in New York
district,
at the time in the garment center. My favorite is when salespeople say nobody's buying.
Right.
Nobody. Okay, the gross domestic product of the United States is somewhere around $14, $15 trillion. Someone's buying something.
Someone's buying
it. If it goes down
1%,
which means that we're in recession, there's still over $13 trillion worth of business out there. If it goes down 10%, which is a full-blown depression, there's still over $12 trillion of business out there. Let me tell you something. Salespeople stop – during recessions, during tough economies, salespeople seem to stop selling long before customers stop buying.
That's what I needed to hear, Warren. My sales leads are lined up. I'm going to be making 100 calls today. You always do that.
Guys, let me tell you something. Recessions are a great time to sell. You know why? Because most of your competition has given up.
Great point,
right?
Yeah.
There might not be as many sales out there, and they might not be as big, but there's not as many people chasing them.
That's so true.
And it's a numbers game.
It's a numbers game. And here's another tip. When times are good and customers don't see you, they assume you're busy. But when times are bad and customers don't see you, they assume you're gone.
That's true.
So it's more important to be visible now than even during good times.
Absolutely. What's the best way to get your book, Warren? I know they can go to your website, but are there any other websites they
should go to?
Go to
my website at Gresius.com, click on the cover of the book. It'll take you to a page where you can also go directly to any of the online retailers, like Amazon.com has it, BarnesandNoble.com, Books a Million, 800 CEO Read. Also, you could buy it at Barnes & Noble. It's in the stores. It's in the Hudson bookstores in every major airport in the country. Any of the online retailers, and, of course, just to make it easier for anybody, Gresius.com is my website, and you can hook up to any of the online retailers. There's a link to my book page on all the online retailers there on my website.
And that's GRESHES.com. GRESHES.com is
that's
the simplest
correct.
Way. Yeah. Good.
I want to thank you again, Warren. Wish you a happy holiday to you and your family. And,
oh,
and again,
thank
Donna,
you guys.
I think you're great.
You
We'd love to have you back.
Happy, healthy, and successful New Year to you and to everybody.
Same
listening.
To you. Glad to hear your family's doing well, Warren. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you,
Thanks
guys.
So much, Warren.
A pleasure. Thank
Same
you.
Here.
Thanks, Warren. Our pleasure.
Take
he's
care.
Great, isn't he, Don?
Take care.
That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Show.
I mean, I feel like the three of us are just sitting down at a bar having some beers. We can talk for hours, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the book is truly amazing. I mean, you can see just how I was quoting it. You know, I mean, this is probably going to be on my new top five list, I think. It's really, it's an amazing book. And it's funny, as I'm reading the book, you picture Warren actually saying it to you, you know? I mean, that's how he writes, you know? And
no one can ever accuse him of being a phony, because he's...
No, he's the real deal.
He's just the extreme opposite of that. He tells it how it is. It's great to speak to someone like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's fantastic. So we'll have to try to have him back next year in 2012. We'll sneak him in again someplace, you know, to pump up ourselves and our listeners and my students and all that other stuff.
But we have to. As owners of this show, it's almost like we have to have someone on there, or we're not taking care of our listeners, you know?
I never told you how I discovered Warren actually by accident. It was on, I think it was World Talk Radio. It was one of the first shows I've listened to. And I said, oh, my God, this guy's amazing, you know. And to be able to, you know, for you and I to be able to speak to someone like that, I mean, is really incredible. You think about the guests that you and I have had on our show, you know, with this Michael Gerber, we've had on the show 3 times. We've had Warren on the show 3 times. And, you know, Scott Shane and all these other, you know, great people. It's just, it's amazing, you know.
Right.
So the show has definitely been very good to us, that's for sure, you know. So Yeah, it's a great show. And again, for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com, franchisefunding.net, gofranchise.com. What else, Don?
What else is have a great holiday.
Absolutely. So great show today, Don, and thanks everyone for listening, and I'll talk to you next week, Don.
Okay, great, Marty.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Everyone. Take care.